This is The Outlook, LGBTI news, views and culture, brought to you by NewsHub.
Welcome to The Outlook. This is the first show in March, and joining us is H. McArdle, who's got such an exciting couple of weeks ahead. Tell us about what you're doing.
Kia ora, Dan. Well, my mind is just blown because in the last few days we've confirmed that in a couple more days I'll be off to New York to the UN Committee on the Status of Women, which is this really big meeting that happens at the UN every year to talk about how things are globally for women and gender minorities in the world.
That sounds like quite a big formal name for something.
So
break it down. What's going to be discussed and how significant is it that we'll have a Kiwi voice there?
Yeah. So the UN generally likes to encourage civil society engagement. So that's just the ordinary folks on the ground. So that if their governments are saying that they're doing really great things, but really they're not, the ordinary folks on the ground participating in those systems is really important if they can call them out or there's an issue that a government might be glossing over in their country. So our panel that we're going to be running is about legal gender recognition and dignity for non-binary people around the world. So it's pretty extraordinary that we're having this conversation about the experience of gender minorities at the Committee on the Status of Women in a time where some of our women's movement isn't so inclusive of trans people and has been kind of at the forefront of saying some really stink things. So it's really important that we make sure that all gender minorities' voices are heard in all of those different UN and international protections. They're supposed to be there to look after and support people.
What changes do we need to make here in New Zealand then at a government level? What are some things that we are lagging behind in?
Totally. Oh, I've got a whole list of them, but I'll give you the short synopsis.
Yeah.
Number one thing is about our legal documents. For someone to be able to operate and just move through society, live their life, often trans and gender diverse people really struggle with things like our birth certificates and being able to change our names at a cost-effective way. So there's some stuff we can do in that respect. Our current birth, deaths and marriages Relationships Recognition Act review will be a huge step towards that. But also, I don't know if you knew this, but trans people aren't currently protected under our Human Rights Act in a very specific way. Right. We've kind of got this loose, glossy covering. So later this year, when we have our Human Rights Act review, our big kaupapa in our community at the moment is we want to include gender identity, gender expression and sex characteristics as grounds of specific non-discrimination.
So how are they, give us an example of how they're not included in that, the Human Rights Act.
So technically, I don't want to give anyone any naughty ideas here, but technically if someone discriminated against you on the basis of, say, your gender expression, we don't specifically know if there's any particular coverings or protections.
Right.
And also, for example, our intersex whānau aren't protected from having, say, non-consensual surgeries when they're little babies because there's no protection for them under the law that says that a doctor shouldn't try and normalise what their sex characteristics look like.
Right. I want to just cover off, because I know there'll be a few people asking, what does non-binary mean?
I always just say it's like the in-between, like the in-between spaces. Life isn't black and white. There's a whole bunch of space in between. So the way that I identify my gender is that I don't neatly fit into a boy or girl box. Yeah,
right.
That's to make it quite simple.
So in the same way that I believe there's a spectrum in terms of sexuality, to 0 to 100 in terms of gender, that's the same thing.
Totally, you got it.
So what was your journey in terms of working out who you were?
Yeah.
And I don't want to say putting a label on it because that's essentially the opposite of what we're really trying to do here. But what was your journey in working all that out?
I guess I was really lucky. I'm the first born in my generation, and so there weren't toys that were hand-me-down from boys or from girls. It was just I just played with the toys that I liked. I've always just kind of been in the world as a human being. I've never really, really connected with an idea of masculinity or femininity. I've just been H, you know, this kind of these concepts of gender. I've just kind of ignored them. I went to an all-girls school, which sounds like a terrifying place for a trans person. But for me, at our school, we just had leaders. We didn't have girl leaders and boy leaders. We didn't have girls' toilets and boys' toilets. We just had the toilets. So in some ways, I kind of have grown up with a sense of, oh, you're just a person, not in the kind of highly gendered, highly conditioned way. And then I think when I went to university, all of a sudden, there were all these different expectations and roles and kind of language that I didn't really understand about gender, and that kind of started me off on that journey. Yeah.
So you don't identify on either of the genders really, you're kind of right in the middle. How does that work in terms of then who you're attracted to?
I always, some non-binary people might be in the same way, like any person of any race or ethnicity could be attracted to any person of any gender. And this is kind of the same way with non-binary stuff. We often get lumped in with our sexuality diverse whānau, but that's because we're fighting for some similar rights and against similar oppressions. But for me personally, I'm happy to disclose this on air. I'm just attracted to people. I always say, as my friend Moy said, hearts, not parts. Yeah.
That looks like it should be on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So
feel free to monetize that.
Yeah. So we obviously there's quite a bit of, I would say, division in the community at the moment after Pride, whether you're pro what happened or against what happened. What do you think is what do you think of the fallout from this in terms of how it has affected, I think, the relationships within our community quite negatively? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, wherever you sit on the spectrum of all of the different things that happened, I feel what I'm now noticing in the aftermath of that is a sense of disengagement from a lot of people. You know, a lot of people think either, oh, that's too complicated, or I have really strong opinions on this either way. And I really encourage our whānau to continue to engage with the issues facing our rainbow communities, because they're not over. Particularly, please, 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 I would say to our whānau, try and engage with these issues that are really affecting our trans, non-binary and intersex whānau at the moment. We can continue to have conversations about celebrations and parades. That's really great. But please don't disengage from the mahi we've still got to do right now. So if things like talking about parades and festivals is too much, that's totally cool. What you could do right now is write to your local MP and tell them that you'd really support them making our Births and Marriages Relationships Recognition Act move faster in its public consultation, so we can support trans whānau.
Do you think there's room for both, though, a celebration as well as moving forward
Absolutely.
Politically?
Absolutely. I mean, I love a good party. I love to get dressed up.
So we have had actually some people contacting us who have gone through Rainbow Youth and been to meetings and that sort of thing. And they expressed some concern, basically, that they felt when they were there and they were dealing with being gay or lesbian, that they were kind of sidelined because of a focus on trans issues within Rainbow Youth. What would your thoughts be around that?
So just full disclosure, I don't work for Rainbow Youth anymore. I did many years ago. So I'd fully let them answer that. But, you know, that might be reflective of an attitude that some people in our community might be feeling now. Like, oh, trans people are getting the news headlines and everyone's really worried about trans rights. And, yeah, I hear that. And I hear that you may be feeling like, you know, the spotlight's not on you. But also I would encourage you to reflect that the pressure's also not on you. Like, can you transition in your workplace, or can you bring your partner to a work event and have no problems? Probably. But for our whānau transitioning in their workplace, they're still having epic discrimination and struggles. So I hear that concern, and I ask people to sit with that and sit in that uncomfortability, because in that uncomfortability, we can kind of look at what the bigger issues are, hey?
And I kind of feel recently that almost like our community has been its own worst enemy in terms
goodness.
Of making enemies out of...
Yeah.
It's like we fought for our rights as a minority, but now that there are some rights being recognised, all of a sudden it's like you're pushing down on the rights of other people. Would you agree that things seem to be a bit like that at the moment?
Yeah, there's a lot of hurt and a lot of heartache in our community right now.
So how long have you been planning this trip to New York?
So I got a call at the very end of last year saying, hey, there's a possibility that this might happen. Would you be keen? And I went, oh, of course. Like, what? The United Nations Association of New Zealand had managed to get on the agenda this meeting and for this panel discussion. And I said, yeah, that's great. And they're like, cool, cool, cool. We'll look into resources.
Yeah.
And then the resources didn't happen.
Okay.
So about 2 weeks ago, we made the call, like, cool, nothing's come through. All of the things that we thought might happen aren't we're going to have to go public. And that, you know, that comes with risks. I get a lot of hate mail and death threats on the daily, just for being me, but also for representing my community and saying like, hey, let's just have equal rights. Yeah. So it's been a bit scary doing being public about this.
Do you think that comes from ignorance or fear or hate? I mean, I hate to think that it is hate. I think it's more lack of education and that sort of thing. But yeah, negative feedback seems to be quite prominent at the moment.
There's also, I've been thinking heaps about power. And so when people feel that their power is threatened, they often lash out. So whether those are from men folk in our society who are a little bit worried about women having increasing visibility and their concerns with how they're treated in the world, or whether that be about migrants coming into a new country and people who already live in that country lashing out. I think it's all about power and people's fear of that power being taken away.
Yeah, I was quite surprised in terms of you were saying how you get death threats. I haven't had any of those, but I posted a tweet in the last couple of days about the awesome rainbow at Wellington Airport.
Oh, yeah, it's stunning.
And it's so cool, and I can't wait to see it in person. But I was in shock that people came back with such negative feedback on it. I actually thought they were joking. And then I look at the positions these people are in and the jobs they hold and the people they work for, and I couldn't believe that they were publicly stating these things and being so hateful. I mean, they said that they know of people that close their eyes when they're landing because they don't want to see this rainbow. And
are you kidding me? That's horrific.
And so I looked into it, and actually there has been about 15 to 20 complaints from people who don't appreciate it. And so I engaged in a bit of conversation with these, I'll call them trolls now, but I got to the point where they thought I was serious when I was saying things like, oh, I hope there's no kids around and that sort of thing. And they're like, oh, there are schools. We've got to do something about this. So I'm quite amazed that there is so much, it's like popped out in the last few weeks, negative feedback online.
You know, this stuff can't be seen as an isolated thing going on in New Zealand. We're living in a global world where it's kind of becoming a little bit more mainstream to say that you're anti any particular minority group.
We have the Trump effect.
Yeah, I didn't want to say his name, but yep, you nailed it. Yeah,
it's that thing where you've got a leader who is making it okay to think a certain way. So a very large community of, I'd say, redneck Americans now think it's okay to.
And it doesn't, we know that the research says that when we support minorities, say in the workplace, in our economy, a country thrives or a business thrives.
Yes.
When we have more diverse people around a board table, the business makes more money.
Yeah, exactly. So what you'd think that the hardcore business people would be on board as well.
Absolutely.
We are not where we're at, but in terms of internationally, New Zealand does do pretty well, doesn't it?
Particularly for our rainbow communities?
Yes.
Yeah, two people of a similar gender can get married. A trans person can get married to their similar gender partner and not have to get divorced like in some countries in the world. But I would really caution us to fall into that trap that we're doing really well, women have the right to vote, when our wahine are experiencing family violence at an astronomical rate. Intersex children are being shipped off overseas to have genital normalising surgery. So I think we also have to keep a bit of a real lens on what's actually going on in Aotearoa. So people like me like to get noisy and remind everyone of that. But yeah.
I want to also touch on Shortland Street, which I feel like is it quite often reflects issues that are going on around the country at the moment.
It's like a barometer.
Yes. Two of the main characters had an intersex baby.
Yeah.
How do you think that, I mean, that's obviously there to kind of feed an education and a conversation around things. What are your thoughts on essentially the biggest show in the country going down that path and telling that story?
Yeah, there was a massive conversation on the Intersex Youth Aotearoa page. Everyone, when they knew the storyline was coming, we all sort of held our breath. We're all a little bit nervous. But also it's just about like normalising some of these conversations. I was doing an education session recently and I said, you know, how many parents in the room? Some people put up their hand. I said, if you've gone to antenatal classes, you know, what were some of the conversations you had about gender? They said, well, there'll be a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
And so we started to talk about the possibility of having an intersex baby. And they said, we've never heard about that. And I've got five children. Like, I've had children myself, and no doctor, nurse, or anyone ever mentioned it.
Mm.
And because of that, say if someone does have an intersex baby, then there can be this kind of freak out, like, oh, there's something wrong or something bad's happened, as opposed to this is a really normal natural variation that sometimes happens.
I mean, nature.
You've won
nature.
The lottery. Yes, you've got an intersex baby.
The chances, yeah, exactly. Hey, so around this trip, funding has been, you've been pushing for funding. And so you're.
It's been a crazy weekend.
Part of that is obviously flights to New York, which aren't cheap, especially at short notice.
We live in the bottom of the world.
How much are you expecting to spend on flights?
Well, I love a good little bit of a Googleization. Yep. So between 2.5 to 3.5K, depending how many airports I sit in for how many extended periods of time.
Well, us here at The Outlook have been talking to our friends at Flight Centre. And they have generously tracked down a return fare for $2,000 for you.
Oh, are you kidding me?
So
that is outrageous.
They are waiting for you sometime today to go in and see them. And pretty bloody cheap, I must say.
Please, 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 Flight Centre, I'll be your number one advocate for the rest of my life. Kia ora, thank you, thank you.
They're really
thank
excited
you.
About helping you out on this.
Oh.
And they're looking forward to meeting you and helping you out. And they're going to see if they can help you out with accommodation and that sort of thing as well.
Huge love to the Outlook and Flight Centre. Thank you so much for supporting this, Mahi.
We are really looking forward to hearing how it goes over in New York. And when you get back, make sure you come and tell us all
about
it.
I can't wait. Kia ora, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for coming in.
That was The Outlook from News Hub, the latest in queer news, views and culture. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Spotify or any of the other podcast platforms. The Outlook is presented and produced by Dan Lake, and the executive producer is Maggie Wicks.